Oh, that's a tough loss. Boy. For me, at least, one of the reasons, maybe the reason, it is maybe worse than it would otherwise be in for a regular season loss, because finally, the game where we really see the offense dig in their heels, they respond to some poor play, both offensively and certainly from the pitching staff as well. The bats actually pick up the rare misfire by the starter. They mount their biggest comeback since before the All-Star break, and they lose anyway. Just another painful, heartbreaking loss for the Jays, made, again, somewhat worse by the tightly packed standings in the American League. The Jays obviously weren't going to win every single game until the end of the season, but they, in my opinion, should have absolutely won this game after they rallied. But boy, Romano's fourth blown save of the season gives the Jays a 7-6 walk-off loss after rallying from an early 5-0 deficit. Welcome to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Show Ali here with you, taking your calls and texts. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text me. That's the People's Text Line, and it is always open. Yeah, that's a tough one. And, you know, let me put it this way. If I look at the text line, and again, 590-590, name and location, I'm just going to read you a whole bunch of these, because there's a lot of Romano text. Let's put it that, as you would expect, right? Let's see. Graham in Kelowna asking about the challenge. They got one of two challenges wrong. I would be interested to hear about that certainly as well, if only because I want to know the challenge. I think it might have just been the way the umpire worded it, because he essentially said they're challenging the call at first and second. I do not believe, because I see a couple texts on this, that they made essentially two challenges. They made one challenge, and I think you can challenge two different parts because it was one play. But I think that is essentially it. That's essentially it, because I see a bunch of questions on that. Romano, though. Andrew from Kitchener. This one's on John Schneider. Why did he leave Romano? It's as dumb of a call as pulling Gausman in the wild card game. This loss is on John Schneider. Romano should have been taken out of the game. Let's see. Ray in the Yukon. Explain the decision behind why he stayed in the game when Meza is ready to pitch to Lowe. Romano got his chance, blew it early. Andrew in London. No reason to pitch to Lowe in the ninth. I was screaming at my TV to walk him. No idea why we pitched to him. Springer looks hurt as well. And Tony from Kitchener. I'm disappointed in Schneider. I don't care if Romano is the closer or not. He clearly has something wrong with his fingers and giving up hits. Why not take him out? Why not walk Lowe when he is hitting righty as well? I can't. These games matter. No time to be stubborn. Allow your team a chance. A number of these texts, and I will get to a couple more a little later on. First of all, think this will necessarily change the closer role for the Blue Jays with just, I guess, 7 games left now. Nor do I think, because only Romano has been good all season long, it shouldn't change, even if he does make it an adventure. But I agree with you guys. He didn't have it today. He was looking at his fingertips a lot. We'll have to see what Schneider says after the game, but there seemed to have been some kind of question as to what was something going on with his fingers, like before he even came in, before the leadoff double, and especially after the leadoff double. That was a really tough spot for him to melt down. And it just, given that he did not have it, it is baffling for me to let him stay in the game in that situation. I know closers, to answer everyone's question, like why was he left in? Explain it. The only thing I can think of, because I agree that he just did not have it, is that closers tend to be given the longer leashes generally. And I think there is an old school mentality out there that sometimes it's just, I'm using air quotes here, your closer is your closer no matter what. And again, I don't necessarily always agree with that. It's just funny because I see some people kind of saying like, oh, the khakis blew it. And I almost feel like it might be the opposite. I don't know if it was some kind of advanced analytics decision-making going on there. I actually feel like it might be the complete opposite, in which the manager felt that, well, he's the closer. That's his role. He's going to go. There's one out. He can get this last guy. And when, you know what, for me, I'm not sure, because I generally do actually, for the most part, agree with that. But if you're going by in individual situation by situation, Today, it was clear from the get-go, from the time Romano took the mound, and he threw a lot of pitches yesterday as well. From the time he took the mound, he did not look entirely right. And he does make an adventure a good chunk of the time, if not all the time. So maybe they felt he could weather this storm. But boy, after the game, after the save had already been blown, I'm not sure there was any positive part of Romano's outing that would have given you confidence to leave him out there. Like the game at this point, even if you're getting out, the game is going to extras. The game is already going to extra frames. So I don't know. Do you continue to roll the dice knowing, is the idea that you want Meza for the 10th? I guess, but Meza is out there. Josh Lowe at the plate. You have the lefty on lefty matchup for just the one out. Meza has been mostly nails in such a situation all season long. Oh, a baffling situation. Even if you don't want to bring in Meza, walk Lowe. He's probably one of their most dangerous batters all season. He's one of their best guys. Brandon Lowe is not available. Randy Rosarena didn't play today. Kevin Cash said Rosarena was actually available to come off the bench, and he did not. So that probably means he is ailing a little bit. But one of the most dangerous batters all season has been Josh Lowe. It seems like a strange situation to let him be given the chance to end this game. And again, it's just a real crappy way for this one to end, because you know what? After Hyunjin Ryu, and we'll talk about Ryu, he didn't have it. After the bats picked up Ryu, I actually thought you got some very good outings from virtually every pitcher not named Hyunjin Ryu or Jordan Romano today. All of the relievers I thought pitched very well, including Trevor Richards, including Jimmy Garcia, certainly Chad Green, certainly Yenesis Cabrera. And it just feels kind of all for naught in the end, which is a real bummer. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. *590 on your cellular device. Let's go to the phones. Lots of you guys on hold. We'll take all your calls. Matt in British Columbia starting us off. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, show. Great to be here. First time caller, long time listener. You know, you've already touched on everything about Romano, and that's what I'm here to talk about.
Yeah.
Like you said, Romano was having finger issues before he even came into the game, so I was concerning alone. First batter allows the base hit. You see Schneider and the trainer come out. So if there's an issue with that, we only got 7 games left. This is crunch time. Do we have time to play games and say, oh, I care about feelings more than about this team winning? Like, this batting lineup crawled their way back into the game on the road in the Trop, no other place, down 5-1. They take the lead 6-5. They're in the 9th inning. We need these wins badly right now. And Romano's off. He allows 3 hits. He's still in the game. Why is he not getting pulled? Is Schneider more worried about hurting feelings rather than winning games at this point? Like, this is a massive game. Biggio 2-for-5 or whatever. The whole lineup contributing. Like, this was the win we needed. Now it feels like a sick feeling in our stomach, and we don't know what's going to go from here. Like, it's just a really tough loss today, and it's not the first, but yeah.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining us here on Jay's Talk. Yeah, it's a tough one to stomach because – like, I think anytime you get walked off, it sucks, obviously. It's not hardly a hot take, but boy, when you see I feel like a lot of the criticism that has been levied, certainly by me, and I think by a lot of people at the team all season, has been that, boy, when you go down 4-0, you go down 5-0, and you think to yourself, can this offense, based on what we've seen all season long, actually mount a comeback? And then they do. They do actually mount the comeback, and then it's blown in like the span of 5 minutes, essentially, which is a really rough way for this one to end. I mean, I see a text here on the text line, kind of to Matt's point. Jay from London, problem was he should have left Hickson last night, not gone to Romano in the 8th. Maybe you can argue that it is somewhat of a ripple effect, perhaps. I don't think that's an entirely unfair assessment. I was listening to Ben Wagner and Nicholson Smith talk after this game on their wrap-up portion of the broadcast, and BNS making the completely valid point that I think at this point, you just have to give Romano a bit of a breather. I mean, it's third game in a row. You just don't want Romano pitching 3 games in a row anyways, but good heavens. I mean, he just didn't look right. It's why, like, usually I don't have a huge issue with letting your closer be the closer more often than not. But if the guy doesn't look right away, and then you blow the save, I admit I don't entirely understand keeping him in there. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Billy joining us in Markham. Billy, what's on your mind? Haven't heard from you in a while. What's up?
Yeah, how you doing, Show? Couple of things. Sure. Number one, I mean, with Romano, let's just be real. Romano has been on thin ice all year. I know his stats look good, but every game he comes into, it's a scare job. So this doesn't surprise me at all. Where I probably would have went different today was, since Romano pitched yesterday, can our pitchers not go more than one inning? I mean, Thing looked good. Garcia finally looks good. Why not have him come back out for the ninth? Why do we always have to go? This reminds me, in gambling terms, Show, is that, you know, the dumbest bet in gambling is a parlay. When you bet four or five game parlay, you can get four of those five games right. The one game you get wrong, you lose a parlay. Even though you've made great bets, you've just lost one. This is the same with relievers. You bring it, four of your five guys can look good, but the one guy that looks bad winds up killing you, and that's what happened today. Very simply put, I would have come back with Garcia. No question about, especially after Romano threw 24 pitches yesterday. And if Garcia falters, then I come in with the lefty. I mean, I'm not coming back with Romano. I'll wait for tomorrow for Romano and give him a day off. As for the call, you talked about it earlier, and I thought of that right away. One thing that Kevin Cash isn't is dumb. He knows the rules like crazy, and I guess he knew that you could question both of them and it only counts as one, because if the rule was that you get the first call wrong, you don't get to question the second one, then I'm going to guess Cash would have went for first base first, because that one looked like he was safe on the play. He would have went there, then he would have questioned the second one and not cared if he lost it. But you know what? Tough loss, but this Tampa Bay team has not impressed me the last couple of days. The Jays, you just got to get in. The Atlanta Braves do not scare me. The Houston Astros do not scare me. There's nobody in Baltimore is coming back to earth. Everybody's beaten them. The Houston Astros, Oakland's walked in there, took two out of three. Kansas City kicked the crap out of Houston. Jays, it is right there for you. If you can get in, I'm not saying you're going to win it all, but you got just as good a chance as anybody. That's it, Joe.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me here on Jays Talk. You know, I agree with the assessment of the challenge, right? Because I really do think that Kevin Cash, again, exactly like Billy said, if he could only have made one, you're going for the guy at first, because the game has already been tied at that point, essentially, right? So I don't have a huge issue with the whole challenge thing. I truly think the confusion lies almost entirely with the way the umpire announced what it was. If he had just said, like, if he had literally just said, the Rays are challenging the call of safe at first base, and they also reviewed the second base thing as well. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would have been slightly confusing if we saw shots of second and first, but I would be willing to wager it probably happens more than we think, and the umpires just don't say it. I really do believe that the confusion laid mostly with the way the umpire actually like announced his wording of it, of the announcement. But yeah, I don't know if I would admit to Billy's point as to who you go to instead of Romano. I agree with this point that perhaps you can let guys, especially relievers, go longer than one inning, especially because the bullpen has been so good for so much of the season. I'm not sure. For me, and I say this as someone who has been as big a booster of Jimmy Garcia as anyone else across this network, I'm not sure I want to roll the dice with Jimmy Garcia, only because this season Jimmy Garcia has not looked great. And I'm not saying I'm not going to give him praise. If we're handing out praise to a bunch of different guys today, even in a brutal loss, then we must do so for Jimmy Garcia, because he looked great, right? It was against the bottom of the order, but he bamboozled Margot Aranda and I guess it was Walls at the end. He got all of them with pretty much relative ease. Even if he fell behind, he leaned on the curve and he leaned on the four seamer, and the velo is nasty on the four seam fastball. And it's the location that he sometimes struggled with. And he didn't really struggle with either today. So I get the idea that you could bring him back out there. It's just, I don't know if you really want to gamble with Jimmy Garcia, like, of all people. Like, I don't think anyone had any issue with them. I don't know if it's quite a gamble, but asking a little bit more of Chad Green, who came in and got, I think, five outs, right? Like, he has looked phenomenal. I mean, you can talk a little bit more about Chad Green and the pitching, the staff, certainly the bullpen as well. But yeah, for me, at least, as maybe I'm a little more risk averse, but I don't know that I would, of the specifically the guys who were in this game. I frankly, I was a little nervous when Jimmy Garcia came in, even against the bottom of the order, but kudos to him. He got it done. But Yeah, Romano, unfortunately, the one taking the loss and certainly blowing his fourth save of the year. Of course, John Schneider is chatting with the media. He was asked about it. Let's hear what he had to say. Hazel May is starting us off.
He kind of cracked a nail a little bit last night, so we, you know, knew that going in. Just wanted to make sure he was good. He was looking at it, but I don't think it affected him physically. I just wanted to make sure that it was good.
What did he say to you that kind of convinced you to keep him in there?
He said, I'm good. I'm good to make pitches. See you later. Yeah, I mean, it's your closer. It's a guy that you trust in any situation, you know. Wanted to be careful with him a little bit, obviously. That's why, you know, Pete went out there and just kind of yanked a heater to where we didn't want to go. But, you know, you're looking at you being a little bit short in the pen after Jordy, and with the game already tied, you wanted to kind of keep Timmy for a clean inning and extras.
So there you go. That's John Schneider chatting to Hazel May. You know what, actually, there's another piece I want to play, and then we can kind of break down a little bit. This is more on John Schneider. I believe it is Keegan Matheson talking to John Schneider. Keegan from MLB.com.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he handled the situation well, you know, for going, you know, double, single, and kind of, he's been in those spots before. You know, Yandy's a really good hitter. Tough to sneak a ball down the first baseline right there. Harold is a, he's a pain in the ass since I've known him in 2018, and he's a good hitter. But it's, yeah, it's a good lineup, you know. It's a good team, obviously. We're a good team. You know, the ninth inning gets magnified a little bit, but overall, I think you look at kind of the middle innings and what we did to get back into the game. I thought it was just a really good game from two teams.
I get why you'd want to perhaps shift focus less from the ninth inning meltdown and more towards the middle of the game. Because, hey, the middle of the game was actually the best part of the game for everyone, for me included. We were all very excited here at Baseball Control. But, yeah, that's John Schneider talking about Jordan Romano handling the inning. So he mentioned the nail issue, I guess. But, again, like if that's something you're aware of, boy, I mean, wouldn't you rather live and die with another very good pitcher? Like, wouldn't you rather live and die with Tim Mayza? Or I know Jordan Hicks threw a number of pitches yesterday with Jordan Hicks, with Swanson. I don't know, with any of them. Not, again, not because I personally don't have faith in Jordan Romano. I genuinely think he is a very good closer. He is amongst the top statistically relevant closers in not just the American League, but all of baseball. I know some people like Billy would have said, oh, well, stats be damned. Sometimes he makes it look like an adventure. And that is absolutely true. But he also looks very dominant at times. And this wasn't the most dangerous version of the Rays lineup we have ever seen. And boy, knowing that there's some kind of issue, I think does make it a bit of a shame that this is what happened. This is how this one ended. Yeah, David Kitchener, he should know better. Don't let Romano convince you to stay when it's clear it was an issue or at least a distraction. 100% agree, Dave. Absolutely agree. If you know it's an issue, don't put yourself in that position. That's where I fall on it. And it's just unfortunate because it really erases a lot of the good that this team did today, which, frankly, there's a lot of things. I see another one from John in Mississauga. Why is Merrifield going home? Two bad decisions in two games. You know what? I wanted to talk about this for sure. It didn't really feel like we were going to have to discuss this too much because they kind of played well enough to erase this snafu. But Merrifield gets sent in the top of the seventh. And the Kevin Kiermaier hit to Harold Ramirez, it was right in that tough gray zone. Was it too shallow? Was it deep enough? I actually, at least on first glance, when I saw the ball in real time, I thought it was too shallow. Okay, that's just that was my initial reaction. On the flip side, Merrifield is plenty fast enough to make the sprint. I actually do, maybe he's not as fast as he once was, but he's fast enough to get from third to home plate in a very short period of time. I actually do think that's a spot where you gamble, given that it is Merrifield on the bases, and there are probably only a few guys in the whole roster you gamble with in that position, and Merrifield being one of them. It's just that Harold Ramirez, right on the line when he made the catch, he delivers an absolutely terrific laser beam, a great throw right down the line to Christian Bethencourt at the plate. If anything, I actually thought, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I thought with Kiermaier at the plate, he's pretty decent at laying down a bunt, maybe a good spot for, I don't know, safety squeeze or a squeeze bunt to get Merrifield. Again, a guy who can move pretty well from third to home. But again, on the flip side, Kiermaier has hit pretty well at the bottom of the order and even had a hit in this game before this. So I don't know. It's not the worst decision we will debate on Jays Talk, let's put it that way. But, you know, Ramirez, for example, and Schneider talked about him, maybe a pain in the ass, but he's usually a DH. He's not usually an outfielder, even though obviously he can credibly play outfield, competently play outfield. But he's usually a DH. It required a perfect throw, and he delivered one. I truly believe like 9 out of 10 times, or I don't know, maybe 8 out of 10 times, Merrifield's probably safe in that situation. So again, was it the best outcome? Obviously not. But for me, at least, I'm not sure I'm going to put too much stock into why the Blue Jays lost this game on that one in particular. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will certainly go back to your phone calls, and we'll go back to the text line as well, 590-590, name and location. And the text line, pardon me, the phone numbers to call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Back to the phones, back to the text line on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jay's Talk, Show Ali with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Jay's Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali with you for 20 more minutes or so, maybe a little less. Appreciate you all being alongside me. Unfortunately, a less than sexy game to break down, given the way this one ended. 7-6, the Blue Jays get walked off by the Rays at the Trop. Sets up the rubber match tomorrow. Yusei Kikuchi, Taj Bradley, the pitching matchup in that game. I will have Jay's Talk with Julia Kreutz. Will not be by myself tomorrow, which is always fun. And Blair and Barker will got you covered for the rest of the season, actually, after tomorrow, including next weekend. I will be along for the pregame, but not for the postgame next weekend. Blair and Barker have you covered right up until the end of the regular season. All right, let's check out the Major League Standings Watch, brought to you by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19 plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. So if we take a look at the current scores before we look at the action going on right now, the Rangers, they did beat the Seattle Mariners yesterday. I believe the final score was like 8-4 or something like that. They really took it to them. Right now, the Rangers bottom three lead the Mariners 1-0. And again, similar to yesterday, the Royals lead the Astros 1-0 mid three. So I suppose you are in theory rooting for the Rangers and Royals again, because the Rangers currently, as we discuss the standings update, they are leading the AL West. They are 85-68. The Rays, with the win, they are 95-61. The Blue Jays are still in that second wild card spot. They are 86-69 following the loss. They are a half game up on the Astros, 85-69. But of course, the Blue Jays have the tiebreaker on the Astros. So even if they are both tied, so if the Astros do come back and win this one, and the Blue Jays and Astros are both 86-69, the Blue Jays will still be in the second wild card spot, so that will not change, at least tonight. If the Mariners do come back and beat the Rangers, they are 84-69 right now, so they will be tied with the Astros for the final wild card spot should they win. And actually, funnily enough, if they win, all three of the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners will be in a roughly similar position, as they will be likely for the rest of the season. So a lot of tightly bunched teams in the standings update, brought to you by Bet365. All right, let's get to the text line, 590-590, name and location. Anthony says, stop with the excuses. This manager is not too smart. Not sure. I'm not sure if that's like legitimately, I'm not sure if that's directed at me or if it's directed at John Schneider. I'm not sure I've made many excuses for John Schneider today specifically, so it must be directed at John. But you feel free to clarify, Anthony. Jay from Brampton. I actually like this text from Jay. If you're comfortable enough to pinch hit for Chappie, of course, Chapman getting pinch hit for by Biggio a couple of days ago against the Red Sox, I guess last weekend, I should say. How can you not make a call to lift Romano? How many games have we lost because of poor manager decisions? I think that's a completely valid criticism, because clearly, and that was a big thing, I think we actually learned after that game that Chapman had never been pinch hit for ever, certainly not in his career as a Blue Jay. But I think he meant dating back to his career as an Oakland Athletic. So if that's the case and you feel comfortable enough to do that, then boy, that's a valid point, because if you're comfortable enough to do that, knowing that Romano had some kind of nail thing, then why leave him out there? Certainly why send him out there in the first place if you knew it was an issue, but once he clearly didn't have it and it was clearly bothering him, why keep him out there? That's wild. Ruben in Alberta, you have to get to extra innings first, John. Out 27 was a bigger priority. Agreed. Justin in Perry Sound, he said, I was on hold to talk to you about the challenge thing, but I need a beer and a doobie to process what just happened, which is pretty funny, actually. Enjoy, Justin. Enjoy. I will not partake tonight, but enjoy. I see Valerie in Selkirk, Manitoba. Yes, trust your pitcher. But is he honest with himself? And I like this point from Valerie. I go back to what Bassett said yesterday about knowing his body. And it's funny, we actually played that during the game today, one of the pitching changes. It was Bassett's sound from postgame yesterday. And one of the things he said, I believe to Keegan again from MLB.com, one of the things he said was a lot of guys, I'm not saying Romano did this, but a lot of guys hide injuries or things that are wrong from the training staff or from the strength staff. And that Bassett, and that he's an old, I don't want to say he's an older guy. He's not that old, but you know what I mean? Like relative to newer people in the league, he's been around the block a number of times. And he talked about how he's gotten major surgery before as well, which we all are aware of, but well before his tenure as a Blue Jay. But he went on about knowing his body and trusting the staff to help him recover. And some guys want to, if not hide things, kind of try and power through things. And maybe that's what happened today. Maybe that is, maybe it's not, but boy, you always have to do this, but these things become so much more magnified when you only have what? 7 games left now in the regular season. 5 games, I believe, will, no matter what happens, five wins, I should say, no matter what happens with the Mariners, Rangers, or Astros, will clinch you a playoff spot. Now, I don't know how likely it is to say the Blue Jays are going to win 5 of 7 games, if only because how many teams win 5 of 7 games, especially in crunch time, especially against your division? That's a tall order. Obviously, I think it'll actually be less than 5 wins that gets you in at this point, if only because these other teams are going to beat up on each other. And, you know, the Astros are going to play like the Diamondbacks at the end of the year, I believe, and the Diamondbacks still battling for a wild card spot in the NL, which is, frankly, we don't talk about it ever, but it is just as tightly bunched as the AL is, maybe even more so because there are more teams involved. So the Diamondbacks fighting for a playoff spot, the Royals, courtesy of Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez and Edward Olivares and a lot of these guys battling to play spoiler, even though they're like 50-plus games under 500 at this point in the year. So nothing is guaranteed, as we've discussed before, but you know, I don't know if you want to necessarily be banking on other teams beating other teams for you to make the playoffs. I wanted to talk a little bit about Hyunjin Ryu. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 5 runs, all of which were earned, 2 Ks, 3 walks. He gave up 3 home runs for those 5 earned runs. So he gives up the home run to Yandy Diaz. He walks the guy before an out is recorded. 2 guys on, Josh Lowe, who was the villain of this game, clobbers a 3-run jack, easily his worst start since that first game back for him against the Orioles. He was a strike away from escaping that inning, down just 1-0, but he leaves an 88-mile-an-hour 4-seamer just like right down the middle. Like as down the middle as it can be. And then Lowe doesn't miss on that one. He later on gives up a solo homer to Christian Bethencourt. All 3 home runs came off the 4-seam fastball, which we know at the best of times does not have high-end velo. So a very disappointing outing for Ryu. Certainly putting the Blue Jays in a bit of a hole. It actually got to the point, I don't know about you guys, where Bethencourt makes it 5-0 with the solo shot. I thought at the moment the best thing for Ryu was to just get through one more inning. Give the bullpen a slightly more normal day, even with the off day on Monday. He came back out for the bottom of the 5th, but he only got the 1 out before getting yanked. Leaves 2 runners on for Trevor Richards. And we'll talk about the rest of the bullpen in a sec. But Ryu's 10th start since returning does kind of make you wonder about fatigue to a certain extent. And I think you only wonder about this because he's certainly a little bit older. He's coming off the TJ surgery. And it was just a bad combo of not being able to locate virtually any of his pitches and also not having great velocity, which we know he never really had, even at the best of times. But for example, the 2 pitches we know he throws well, certainly the changeup, likely his best pitch outright, as we know from his days even as a Dodger or in the KBO, and the curveball, which has largely been great this year. But the movement on the changeup just didn't look to be there early on, and he did settle it down. I think he threw like 30-plus pitches in the first inning, and he still goes out there in the 4th, and gives up the bomb to Bethencourt. He just didn't have it today. Team was forced to go to the bullpen in the 5th inning. Richards comes in. So he inherits the 2 runners, 1st and 2nd. I don't know about you guys. I was a little, kind of like the Jimmy Garcia conversation, I was a little concerned, given that Richards has not looked quite as sharp since coming off the IL versus, of course, the beginning of the season in which the changeup just looked unhittable. Before today, in 7 appearances in the month of September, he had given up at least 1 earned run in 5 of those 7 appearances. But the last time out, it was against the Yankees in New York. He didn't allow a hit, collected 2 strikeouts. And today he threw just 10 pitches to get two outs in the fifth, he could definitely have come back out for the sixth. But the Jays changed the equation in that top six. So I actually do think it was the right move to go to your highest leverage arms, especially with the top of the order coming up there. And the guy who comes out is a guy who I've heaped praise on this year. And he earned some more of it today. Chad Green comes out instead in the sixth and for two outs in the seventh. And he just looked nasty again. Like, he is the perfect middle to late inning reliever. Like, he can be used to hold the score where it is, or he can be used in very high leverage situations to put out fires. I personally think it's a no-brainer to trigger that very complicated contract that would ensure he stays a Blue Jay for, I think, at least two more seasons, maybe another one after that. But he has truly looked fantastic. And now that he is healthy, because of course his first appearance in Colorado looked awful, but since then he has looked great. And I just, now that he is healthy and looks good, sending him to work even more with Pete Walker, I would think, can only be a good thing. Cause he was great. And I want to see more of him. You don't want to overwork a guy, kind of like in the same vein of having the conversation of Hyunjin Ryu, talking about him. But, you know, he's a bit older than Chad Green, but still, you got to find a way to keep Chad Green, certainly with that, you know, there are team options and player options and mutual options. It's a very complicated deal, but do what you got to do to keep him a Blue Jay. And the Blue Jays, as a team, they had worked that into their deal. And certainly, I think it's something that has to be exercised. And of course, Yenesis Cabrera faces, of all people, Josh Lowe, and just wipes him out. And as we know, Lowe is a very dangerous hitter. So great to see Cabrera using that very high velo from the four-seamer to just overmatch one of the team's better hitters, even if it didn't end up mattering in the result in the end. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Matt joining us from Mississauga. Matt, what's on your mind?
How's it going? I love the Chad Green pickup. I just heard you mentioning that. Mm-hmm. I think our bullpen looks fantastic right now. The decision for Jordan Romano today, I know everybody likes to bag on Schneider for putting Romano in the ninth there. I think you got to go with him in that situation. I didn't see anything wrong with his velocity. His slider looked great. He might have had a little bit of, he wasn't getting ahead in the count in that last inning, but man, it's tough to go with somebody else when you got a closer like that. At the end of the game, you're up one in Tampa, and you need to get that win. I think I'm going with Schneider's decision and Romano there. I think you have to.
Well, Matt, let me ask you this: after he blows the save, because there was a chance to put Meza or maybe anyone else in there? Do you still keep him out there? I think that's where I quibble with it the most.
I mean, after he blows the save, it's easy to say that.
Right.
I mean, if he comes in and goes 1-2-3. You're going, well, yeah, you, nobody's questioning anything there. If he brings Tim Meza in that situation or Jordan Hicks, everybody's asking, well, why didn't he bring Romano in if he blow that game?
Right.
You know, so I think that decision's a no brainer. I think he has to bring in Romano in that situation, especially if he is healthy he looked healthy. My one problem is he's throwing so many sliders lately. I only saw him throw maybe one or two fastballs all inning that I really noticed. Guys are starting to sit on that slider.
Yeah.
Matt. I know it's 88, 89 miles an hour, but if you know it's coming, it's a little easier to hit.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk. You're not wrong. The slider has been, it's been one of his pitches that I don't have a huge issue with him throwing it, but perhaps to that extent is where it starts to confuse me a little bit, if only because we know his four-seam fastball has been so lethal, right? I'm just looking at his pitch choices here. And yeah, he threw three sliders immediately to Yandy Diaz, threw two four-seamers to him. He gets the double. He threw two four-seamers to Harold Ramirez singles. He throws two sliders to Curtis Meade. He threw four sliders in five pitches to Isak Paredes. He threw two sliders and three pitches to Caminero. And then he threw two four-seamers to Josh Lowe. And the one in which Josh Lowe planted it just up the line in left field was a 95.7-mile-an-hour fastball. It's certainly not the worst by velocity fastball he's thrown. But yeah, the location a little bit to be desired. I don't know. I know what Matt's saying when he says, oh, it's easy to say that after he blows the save, but it's just at that point with a runner on third and a guy who has been very good at stranding inherited runners in Mesa in that specific situation, don't you have to just throw the everything, including the kitchen sink, at this situation, right? Like, that's kind of why it was a little baffling. Like, yes, if you knew there was something wrong with Romano, it does kind of bother me a little bit that he went out there anyways, but he is the closer is the closer. I can buy into that to a certain extent. But at the point in which Lowe comes to the plate, the game is already going extras. Like, it's already going extras. And, like, I just trying to doing something to mitigate the damage to make sure the game continues instead of ending right then and there is where I have the issue. And then, of course, he stays in and the game ends. That's kind of the big issue for me. I wanted to talk. I mean, we've got to talk a little bit about the offense in this last couple of minutes here. A problem today before they made the big rally was that almost all their runners got aboard with two outs, right? Like Bo gets aboard in the fifth with a single as a leadoff batter. And that was the first time in the entire game where they had a runner on with less than two outs. And it's a tall order to consistently ask every batter to come to the plate to hold off with two outs, knowing that one or two guys are standing out there behind the pitcher, especially when you're down by five runs. But hey, George Springer gets some hard contact with first and third, gets it off of Sean Armstrong, Bo, Vladdy, Cavan, all with timely hits. Armstrong, the whole bullpen got taken advantage of by the Rays today. Vladdy deserves some praise. He walks twice as a base hit, as an RBI single flared into center field. So good to see him looking better towards the end of the season. More praise for Cavan Biggio, one of the guys who went out there to hunt Armstrong in the sixth, made some hard contact, and one of my favorite stories late in the season, because I really do believe these teams, you know, need these kinds of players. When Brandon Belt comes back off the IL, I'd still no real reason for that to change, since it'll probably mean Spencer Horwitz gets sent down. Biggio's role, I think, continues to deserve to be flexed at different positions. And I'm not too worried about George Springer until we hear otherwise, because he checks his swing, he lays down the bat. You never want like the side or the oblique to be some kind of issue, because if he's out, it'll be deplete a lineup that is already pretty thin. And obviously would make the return of Belt, for which right now there is still no timeline, even more important. But he did return to take an at-bat, so perhaps a positive development for Springer. We'll see what he says. It was nice to just simply see the team pass the baton, especially when they absolutely needed to, because you guys know I've said many times that they just stop, like, take some pitches. Take some pitches, guys. And you know what? They did that. It's nice to see them take some pitches, even if we spend most of today talking about the decision with Jordan Romano in the ninth inning. It was a pleasant development against one of the tougher teams in the Major League Baseball, almost in National Football League. Already looking forward to week three in the NFL. Blue Jays lose 7-6 to get walked off by the Rays. At least tomorrow, as Blair likes to say, they get to do it all over again. Last game at the Trop in the regular season, at least. Yusei Kikuchi, Taj Bradley tabbed for that one. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. While the team makes a push for the postseason, make sure you are prepping your ride for cold weather with Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Book your appointment today at crown.com or visit the location nearest you for a B&B. Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho. I'll be back tomorrow with Julia to wrap things up. We'll talk to you then.